Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Good morning to you. Hope you're getting a good start on your day. As we continue with Pep Talk this morning, now is the time to talk about our pets, because you know who is here. Dr. Mark Sprayberry. Sit, stay, and listen for Olive Branch Pet Hospital Play and Stay Care Center. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. Good morning. How's all you groovy people out there?
He is here in the house with a smile on, coming in on his day off, so he's always cash and relaxed.
Yeah, you should have seen me about 20 minutes ago. I've been working in my yard.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to some friends of mine coming to visit this weekend, Jeff and Stacy. You know, been friends for 25 plus years, and they're coming up to visit for the weekend.
Nice.
And looking forward, they're on their way, and just want to say, love you guys. Can't wait to spend the weekend with you. You know, it fascinates me how somebody that looks like Jeff and I have the prettiest girlfriends, fiancés in the world. I mean, you know, miracle. God is good. Miracles never cease.
Well, as long as you're appreciating these women, I'm all in for that. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
hope,
a good thing.
They're driving up. Hope they're listening. And
safe travels.
Yeah.
So, safe travels.
Anyway, so, but...
First, tell us about Olive Branch Pet Hospital. That's you are a veterinarian, the owner, and have been in business for many, many years here in Pensacola. And you also have a play and stay care facility. So let's, for folks maybe tuning into this show for the first time, a little bit about your background and what you do.
Okay, well, I grew up in Northeast Mississippi. I got a pharmacy degree at University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, hottie toddy. And practiced a few years, and just one of my things. So I went back to vet school. I was living in Florida, so went to University of Florida. You know, if I'd been in Alabama, I'd go to Auburn. If I'd been in Mississippi, I'd been in Mississippi State. It's just wherever you get in, you know, Meg.
And, no comment about all those
exactly.
schools.
Well, Georgia's
good.
There, too.
I know Georgia vet
you're
schools.
A bulldog.
Yeah,
but,
they got a good veterinary school.
Yeah. So, but, I've been practicing for 31 years. I've been in Pensacola for almost 25. And, my office is on Davis Highway across from Bailey's Farmers Market, and we do everything. I did a specialty internship in surgery. I am not a specialist, but I've done all this kind of work, and I do a lot of stuff. Like yesterday, I removed a big melanoma off a dog's tongue. We do a lot of cancer work.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
how would you even find that?
Well, it's a specialist. They took it to their veterinarian found it, took it to a specialist. The specialist didn't feel it comfortable taking it off.
Mm-hmm.
So then they come to me.
Oh, my
I
goodness.
I guess, you know, us old guys are buckaroos, you know. We're going to take care of it. But
well, that's your specialty, really. You've mentioned before that cancer work has been something you've been dedicated to over the years.
I think legally we have to say it's a special interest, but that is something we do a lot. We do some chemo for the big universities from Auburn, Florida sometimes. You know, some people don't have to go up there every week. But anyway, we do everything. I do some orthopedics. Did an ACL yesterday. I've done about 1,000 of those.
Wow.
And so a total of about 25,000 surgeries. So we love to see people that have been two or three places, and they come in and say, hey, I've got to have a diagnosis. And we're good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of corporate owned practices in town, and you know, with those type of situations, you know, they're given a certainly time to be in a room. And when you've got a cancer diagnosis, you've got to really sit there with folks and talk to them about it and make them comfortable to a point where this is the options and we need to decide what's best for the pet, first of all.
Right.
And that's my main goal, is what is best for the pet. You know, because they don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and sometimes owners, you know, whatever we need to do, sometimes they're, we just keep, you know, I don't want to do. And then some want to do like, you know, radiation therapy and this and that, whatever. And sometimes that's appropriate. However, sometimes you can do more damage, you know, with some of these treatments.
Sure.
You know, they're not going to live to be 70, 80 years old.
Even though we want them to.
Exactly. I know. I mean,
we really do.
You know, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. I mean, my oldest patient was a 22-year-old golden retriever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that age.
Yeah, that was.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff that comes to my office. I had a case come one time, Meg, that came. The owner bought two Shih Tzus at a pet store. Brother and sister.
Right.
And one of the dogs had a mast cell tumor, highly malignant, on the upper left lip of this dog. I'd never seen it, and the dog was 8 weeks old.
Oh, my goodness.
That's never been seen in veterinary medicine, to my knowledge.
Wow.
Correct. And so I just saw it's Cruella and Zero.
Oh, so,
you
the
know,
names.
From the 101 yes. Dalmatians, yeah. So Cruella was in the office couple days ago, mm-hmm. and she's doing real good.
She's doing okay.
She's like 2 years old now, so I'm very thankful.
Oh, no kidding. So you removed it? And
yeah, I had to reconstruct that part of the lip and all. And then as the hair grew, you know, you really couldn't. In fact, I couldn't remember which side. I was looking at both sides trying to find it. So I guess I did okay.
Well, so cosmetically, she's good for pictures.
Yes. And that's what it's about, ladies. You know that out there, all my fans. You know,
just laughing out loud.
So, but I had something interesting happen the other day. I got to tell the story to everyone.
Here we go. Yeah, I want to hear it. I'm always a little afraid of your stories, Dr. Mark, but I want to hear it, I think.
Well, this is pretty funny. So this guy came in and, you know, I was born in the 60s. So, you know, mm-hmm. So people, you know, our era, we know, you know, 60s, 70s, you know, it's the free love, mm-hmm. drugs and everything.
Rock and roll.
Well, this cat came in and, you know, you could tell he had been probably hitting the devil's lettuce or something, you know.
Oh.
Or something.
Okay.
It could have been, you know.
Well, the fact that you used the word this cat, you're not talking about a feline. So.
No, I'm talking about this guy, you know. But
you aged
back
yourself
in our,
right there.
Yeah, I know it. So anyhow, this guy came in and he brought his cat in.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'd never seen him before.
Okay.
And, you know, he had the, you know, Bob Marley look and, I mean, you know, the whole thing.
Sure.
You know, so I was enjoying talking to him and whatnot. He had the Huarache sandals and the tweed little, you know, the little jacket.
It's
you know,
a look. It's
yeah,
a
exactly.
Look. Yeah,
anyway.
It's a look.
So we're talking, kind of laughing about the old times and stuff like that. And pretty young fella, actually. And this cat was looking at me, and it was kind of going back and forth like, you know, the great Stevie Wonder. You know, when he sang, he would kind of bob back and forth.
Yeah, with his head.
You know,
yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful, one of my favorite entertainers. But he would do that, and I hope he doesn't get upset, but I use that to describe some anesthetic side effects sometimes we're doing. You know, when they start doing the Stevie Wonder,
means
they're waking up and they're doing fine. Anyhow, mm-hmm. So this cat was just staring at me like, I mean, it was freaky.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
His pupils were pinpoint.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, holy crap. What's,
they have
what's going
nine
on this?
Lives.
Exactly.
Does this cat know you from another life
yeah,
somehow?
Yeah, well, he might have burned a couple on this. But anyway, I looked at him. I said, well, sir, what's going on? He said, I don't know, man. I mean, he went outside. He goes outside. And then I found him laying on the patio, and I called him. He just kind of looked at me. He's bobbing back and forth. And so I pick him up and bring him in, and I don't know what's been going. I don't know. He must have gotten into something.
Oh,
of course, I'm
no.
thinking, you know, all right, did he get into your stash, whatever. So anyway, I was talking to this guy, and I said, look, this is all confidential stuff here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to call the law. I mean, you know, whatever. And this was, you know, this had been a little while ago before marijuana was legalized and
right.
medical use, et cetera. But I think the reason I'm bringing this up is I think this cat had eaten a mushroom. And, you know, everybody's seeing mushrooms in their yards right now. So
that's
this is
true. Yeah, with all the rain we've been having.
Yeah, so this is appropriate conversation
oh
for the climate
goodness.
Right now.
Oh, no.
And this, I mean, he was freaky. I mean, so I'd go up to, like, kind of look at him, kind of pet him. Oh. He was, like, darting his head away. And
so the cow was high?
It's like kite.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's some crazy stuff.
Wow.
But I like to tell everybody, occasionally I'll see somebody that, I can't remember the percentage, but it was, like, a huge percentage increase in pets getting into their medical marijuana and various things like that.
I didn't
so,
even think about that.
Yeah, and it can be a problem.
Because you're thinking it's not dangerous. You probably have it on a counter or
correct.
Something like that. A
lot of counter surfing.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah, so just to point out to people, you know, that are, you know, in that type therapy, you know, you just got to keep all drugs off the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've told the story where the lady was cutting up a roast beef or our pot roast and went and got the phone when came back in, the pit bull had eaten the roast and the knife she was using.
Oh my gosh.
And the knife was like 10 inches long.
Oh my goodness.
Came into the vet school and
we
had to take it out.
I can't believe it didn't kill him right away.
Well, I asked the surgery professor went in there and did it, and he kind of went through the stomach, pulled it out, and I said, hey, Dr. Ellison, what happened to that pot roast? Oh, I left it in there. I thought he deserved it. After everything he'd been through, you know. So anyway, just a shout out on that. These mushrooms.
Something I wouldn't think of.
Yeah, these mushrooms, most of them are harmless, but apparently this guy got, you know, this cat got, this feline got a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, well, you know, it might be all these mushrooms, and he says, oh, yeah. So I don't know if he was doing it too.
He went out and harvested them after he left your office.
Exactly. In fact, I think that's probably what it was. Anyway, you know, don't give your pet stuff like that. I mean, it's just not, you know, it doesn't, you know. So a lot of people use CBD oil and all this other stuff, and it's really probably pretty
much. Well, there's
much
the
harmful.
Gummies too. Now you've got THC gummies. You've got candies that have things in it.
Yeah.
So I guess be aware, be careful.
Yeah.
Because even with we've talked about this before with other medications. We've talked about Benadryl and things like that, calming your animals down when there's a big storm or whatever. But these are human drugs, so you got to be careful, as you've said, about giving those to your animal.
Yeah, and they're bad about it. And, you know, sometimes they'll climb up and eat something out of a prescription of the owner's, like blood pressure or blood thinner or something like that.
That's not good.
And a lot of times it isn't necessarily the drug to worry about. It's the bottle that's plastic, you know, the prescription bottle.
Mm-hmm.
They swallow that, and then it goes to the intestine, rips that up, and then I got to go in there and do all that.
Gosh.
People, do not do that to me.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
I don't want anything hard anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the melanoma on the tongue was scary enough yesterday.
Yes. I thought things were supposed to wind down.
It's
not winding down.
I think the good Lord says, I'm going to keep Mark active.
Busy.
Yeah, he'll get idle hands, you know, devil's workshop, they say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he knows better,
obviously.
Got you
covered, man.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry. This is Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark. This show comes on a regular basis here on Pep Talk. So if you have a question for him about your dogs, your cats, or animals, 850-437-1620. He has so many stories, but he has a lot of expertise over the years and may be able to help you. So take advantage of this opportunity because we have our expert in the studio.
Yeah, I tell you, this morning I was out working in my yard a little bit and a little cool breeze blew, and I thought, oh my goodness, fall is here. So with that being said, we're seeing a lot more allergies, that kind of thing. Of course, it's still pretty hot out, guys, so don't leave your pet out there without water, maybe a fan blowing on them or some shade or something like that.
We were still close to 100 yesterday. I mean, we keep thinking it's getting cool. My mind says it's getting cooler. It's not quite yet.
You know, I rode my motorcycle to get something to eat the other night, and it was in the evening, so the sun going down, and it was almost kind of chilly, actually.
Ooh.
And I thought to myself, how can it be chilly when it's 89 degrees?
Yes, I know.
And, you know, anything less than 120 is cooler, right?
I'm throwing my hands up there because I had this exact conversation earlier in the show today, which was telling somebody, I was with a friend, and we were saying, it feels cooler. It was 89.
You know what?
Only in Florida would you say, 89 is cooler.
Yeah, when it gets down to 72, we'll be freezing.
Well, that's true.
You know, the way we live.
Putting sweaters on, but.
But I think that, you know, we've been seeing a lot of allergies and stuff. There's a lot of things these days. I've talked about this a lot on the show. There's a lot of things you can do to really alleviate a lot of their itching and stuff. And, you know, one thing, Dr. Rob Schick is a boarded dermatologist, a veterinary dermatologist here in town. And Rob and I get together now and then for dinner, and we hang out. And he says, you know, folks, just tell your people that you can't rinse with water an itchy dog enough.
Okay, that's interesting.
Okay, because
so what is your advice? And if you see your dog chewing on its paws or he's really scratching a lot, what is the best remedy?
Every day, and rinse them off. You know, if it gets to a point where they're licking, their tongue is like sandpaper. So if they get licking to a point where they're abrading the skin,
the hair starts to thin.
Yeah, they just can't, and it starts stinking. You know, I got to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not something you can fix with some of these things I'm seeing on Facebook and all this other stuff. Oh, if your dog does this, you ought to give this and that, whatever. You know, a lot of that stuff, guys, is just there's no medical proof on that stuff.
Be careful.
Yeah, it's kind of like nutraceuticals. You know, there's a lot of benefit to them, but lot of times the FDA doesn't say, hey, they it's not, doesn't know what to do with it.
It reminds me of the 1-800 late night ads. These crazy formulas and fixes that people have, but be careful of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is something. So I think it's something, the sooner the better too, guys. And if you can get ahead of the allergy a little sooner than later,
mm-hmm.
you usually don't have to spend as much to treat it.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes perfect sense.
And in my office, I try to teach people to handle it.
Because,
you know, I see all this other crazy stuff. I mean, if my clients, our regular clients pretty much know, do X, Y, and Z, and then text me or call me if this didn't get better.
Right.
And you know, 90% of the time they do it, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't have to see them because I've got other, you know, people referring to me and all kinds of stuff for all these crazy things we see.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Do you have any advice right now with these big thunderstorms coming through? I know animals get really scared of the lightning and the thunder. What is your advice about helping your animals stay calm?
Well, that's a really good question. And there's two or three things I do that don't require medication would be, mm-hmm. you know, if it's in the evening, turn the lights on, mm-hmm. close the blinds, turn the lights on in the room so it kind of...
The lightning is minimized.
Yeah,
it doesn't
correct.
Seem so...
Correct. Turn some music or turn, the music or TV on or something. That'll help. Now, they hear and sense 100 times better than we do. You know, and that helps. Benadryl helps in some. A side effect of Benadryl is drowsiness if it
right.
does that. It helps some in some cases. You know, as far as itching and skin problems, it works in about 30% of the cases, just mm-hmm. to throw that in there since we were just talking about that.
Right.
But there are medications. I had a lady come see me the other day that heard me on the show, and they have a product called Cilio, S-I-L-E-O. We don't use it a whole lot, but in certain cases where dogs are physically hurting themselves, you know, that is a product that you put under the gum or you squirt a little bit in between the gum and the cheek,
mm-hmm.
and it absorbs and it just takes the edge off. I love the product.
Like anti-anxiety medication
It's actually a drug we use for light sedation when we got
a
stitch in something or staple something or mm-hmm. or we're trying to look it down deep in the ear and the dogs, you know, won't let us do it just because it's uncomfortable. And so that's one product. The other products are Trazodone, Xanax, the human product, those kind of things. Now, if the dog's just naturally anxious, you know, sometimes it takes something like Prozac or something like that on a regular basis. To
really?
Kinda...
Dogs are taking Prozac?
Oh, Lord.
I didn't know that.
Meg, I have written more prescriptions.
Really?
You know, sometimes I think it should be the owners.
Well, I know, but where have I been? I had no idea. Really?
Have you been living under a rock, man?
Clearly. I had no idea.
Well, you are a Georgia fan.
Oh,
anyway.
Wait a minute. Oh, now, a little gator you. Watch out.
Well, no, but I mean, it's...
That's interesting. I didn't realize.
I've written more prescriptions for that in the past 10 years than I've written in my entire 30-year
career. Okay, I have
to
ask, what are the signs that your pet might need that extra help? I mean, I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. It's just... surprising to me.
Well, you know, it's been going on for years, and then finally, I think my American Veterinary Medical Association kind of recognized it as a quality of life thing. And
interesting.
Some of these,
so
you know,
dogs are depressed. Could have some depression.
I'm not. Well, it can be. It's, you
or
know,
is
especially
it more...
after their buddies or pass away, their best friends or a owner passes away. I've seen that.
Right.
But more so, just you know, people are busy these days. You know, one of the things I don't recommend people, if you're a super busy person, you work all the time,
mm-hmm.
it's probably not good to have a pet, you know, because
you're
never around.
Home alone.
Yeah, because the first thing you need to do is spend tons of time with them, because that makes them feel secure, they're mm-hmm. fine, they're okay. But what happens is people will get a pet and then it'll just turn into the Humane Society or Animal Control, which these shelters are packed, guys.
I know. We were talking about that before the show. I'm so concerned to see that on all social media.
Yeah, and all these stray dogs and stuff. But it's the kind of thing that treating this, taking the edge off of their anxiety, they're just a lot happier pet. That's what my daycare is. My daycare is basically a psych warden. Okay. I mean, with my own pets going too.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Now I'm just saying.
Disclosure.
Correct. Exactly. And so we get them in there. We play with them. We wear mm-hmm. them out. They go home.
It's a big facility, by the way.
Yeah. They eat their dinner and they go to sleep. And that's mm-hmm. what, you know, that's kind of what owners, listen to me, parents want. You know, I never had children, so I talk like I'm their kid, their puppies.
Right.
But that's what, you know, parents, I mean, you're keeping them busy. I've got a 6-year-old and 3-year-old great nephew, and I mean, those boys are off the chain. I'm telling you. I mean,
energy for days.
My niece says, they're just like you, Uncle Mark. I went, okay, well, great Uncle Mark, I guess is what to say. Anyway.
Uh-oh.
But, so these are some things I treat. We do a lot of behavioral medicine there. We're set up for mm-hmm. it. ladies at the daycare are great about taking dogs. We don't just throw them in with everybody else like all these franchise corporate stuff do. Each dog is assessed. We find, like, a lot of the staff bring their dogs every day. Well, those dogs get along with everybody.
Right.
So a lot of times we'll put a new dog or a new pet in with a staff so they can run around and see how they do. And then, you know, eventually the dogs develop their own little friends. We keep a list of who the friends are.
Oh, how cute is that?
And then when the dog comes in. So, yeah. So they got all kinds of fun things. You know, we talked about this where they had, like, sprinkler time and then bobbing for apples and kissing booth at Valentine's.
I like the artist thing that you brought in for me. That was
oh,
awesome.
I've got more. Yeah, they did it the other day where the paw print was the center of a sunflower.
I just love that. It's yeah. just so cute.
Nose print. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a big time back there.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
So this is to explain for someone may not be familiar. This is a daycare. You're open how many days a week?
It's 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
365. It's they're open from like 6:30 in the morning to about 6 at night, just so you can drop off before work and come in, pick up after work.
And a great place if you are traveling on vacation where you're not going to be able to take your pet with you, that's a great option.
Yeah.
And probably need to start thinking about making those reservations now, correct?
Yeah, for the holidays, especially.
Hard to believe. But
yeah, we start getting busy, and or we're busy all the time, but we start getting really packed busy. But we've got about probably 8,800 kennels there on the entire facility. They're not kennels. They're enclosures. I mean, you have to have somewhere to put them, but there are no cages in the facility.
Right. Okay.
I just don't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we've got plenty of room. The cat boarding is actually, I have it at my clinic, another building on the property, because it's a lot quieter, and they have the enclosures where they can climb from one to the other.
Play a little opera for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, this is Pep Talk. We're talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Daycare. So just a few minutes left here today. Was there anything you would like to mention that we haven't touched on today?
Well, the one thing, guys, is just make sure you get your pet in to see once or twice a year. Twice a year is better than once in that, you know, they live 7 years for our year, you know. So, you know, if you only went in every, like, once a year for us, it'd be like seven. So, things crop up. I mean, the amount of cancers I see that people said, oh, the vet said just watch it. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's like the size of a grape. Now it's a baseball.
Oh,
and now
good.
I've got to remove it.
Yeah.
And then try to get margins and all that stuff.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes left, and we had a question just came in from one of our listeners. Hello, ask him if the pet has to have a cough injection in order to stay overnight.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, well, there's two. One is influenza, which is a reportable disease in the state. In other words, if your pet gets it, then I have to call the state and notify it's so contagious. It's not really like our influenza, Meg. Mm-hmm. It's a different, extremely contagious. It went from, like, South Florida, where it started in a grand racing kill and all that, it killed them all, you know, the state, you know. But, and that's all over the, it's 48 states, not in Hawaii or Alaska or geographic difference. The other was Bordetella.
Right.
Bordetella is one. We do it, I recommend it every 6 months, because independent research showed it only lasts 4 to 6 months. Manufacturers say it lasts for a year, but it doesn't. I've never had a problem, and I've been doing this for about 25 years here.
So probably, yes, they would have to have the Bordetella.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Rabies, of course, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 year, whatever their veterinarian's done. And then the distemper injection once a year, too.
Okay. We're talking with Dr. Mark Sprayberry. How do folks get in touch with you if they want to make an appointment or bring their pets by?
Just call 850-477-2901. It'll give you options, and you can get the Play and Stay through there. You can get me. Folks, appreciate y'all. Thanks for the questions. God bless, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Daycare. This is Pep Talk.